Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
This week at Safeway, enjoy big savings with the BOGO sale, where select items throughout the store are buy one, get one free. With this week's BOGO sale, get select meats like Signature Farms 90% lean ground beef or boneless, skinless chicken breasts or thighs, buy one, get one free. Plus, select fresh produce items like 1 pound containers of sweet strawberries or containers of blueberries or buy one, get one free. Safeway, come in and explore and see what other deals you can find.
Hey, in 1 hour, you probably heard the story today that there's already a lawsuit against SoCal Edison over the Laguna Niguel fire from last week. We're going to talk to the attorney representing the clients there, even though I don't think we have a definitive cause of that fire. SoCal Edison did report some activity.
I guess these attorneys think so.
I guess so. We'll find out at 5:05. Don't forget the voter guide. It's KFIAM640.com, the John and Ken page. We added our next guest just yesterday on the recommendation of one John Cobelt. This is the replacement for Los Angeles City Councilman Mike Bonin, which is District 11 in the city of Los Angeles.
The worst councilman in Los Angeles history, the worst politician in American history, the most destructive councilman that's ever been seen. He's the one who single-handedly ruined large neighborhoods, large swaths of the West Side with his weird fetish for homeless people and criminals.
Yeah, and even put out a voter guide, and he did not pick as his replacement our next guest. What a surprise.
There's all kinds of frightening mini Bonins, Bonin wannabes running. Ignore all of them, trust me. Tracy Park for city council, that's who you should vote for in the 11th district on the west side of Los Angeles. She's the one who should win, and we're going to get her on now. Tracy, how are you?
Guys, I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I met you, I guess, about a year ago at an event, and we had you on the show last summer when you first announced you're running. How good do you feel about the campaign? I don't know if you do polling or what your method of determining, you know, how well the campaign is doing. What do you think is going on?
Well, I am incredibly proud of what we have accomplished over the last year. We just, through hard work and determination, have built an amazing broad coalition across all of CD 11. The polling looks good, and I am cautiously optimistic heading into the primary on June 7th.
Now, is this a situation where if nobody gets 50% plus a vote, then the top two go to November? Is that going to happen?
That's what would happen, yes. I'm hopeful about the 50% plus one. That would be ideal. So we can spend the next 6 months working on policy and hiring the transition team. But given the number of candidates in the race, most likely there will be a runoff in November.
What is the number one thing you're going to jump on right away if you get elected in November? What is the one issue?
Well, homelessness and public safety. But in so many ways, those two things are interrelated. And so those are the top of mind issues for, I think, the vast majority of voters in CD 11 and across the city of L.A.
What do you're dealing with a city council where often they voted 14 to 1 against Joe Buscaino and any common sense idea he had about those issues. What can you do for the district, regardless of what the city council does as a whole? You do have some, it seems like Bonin had a lot of autonomy in setting homeless policy and deciding how much police presence there'd be and what would be enforced and what not enforced. That seemed to be true, is it?
It is true, actually. And, you know, our no camping ordinance is a perfect example of that. As you probably know, under that ordinance, each individual council member gets to decide whether or not to do any enforcement and where that enforcement will occur within his or her own district. And not only did Mike Bonin vote against the ordinance, but he has not brought forward any enforcement resolutions to the full council. And he has voted against enforcement efforts that other council members have tried to do in their district. So that is something that, you know, I will be taking up on day one. Our neighborhood and community councils across the district have submitted their own motions identifying locations where they would like to see enforcement. And that's going to be my top agenda when I get to City Hall.
What are you hearing from people as you campaign?
You know, what I am hearing across the entire district is widespread frustration and anger with the status quo, the lack of responsiveness from the CD 11 council office, and widespread concerns about public safety. And frankly, people are, you know, they're concerned about the homelessness and the impact that it's having on every pocket of our community. You know, our business community is impacted by this. There are encampments around schools. Every day there's, you know, another encampment fire or RV fire. And people are just, they're frustrated with all of it.
What would you do with that Bologna Wetlands situation there with all the RVs piled up there and all the pollution that's going on there in that environment?
So that is, first of all, something that it should never have been allowed to happen in the first place. And, you know, we talked about this at length the last time I was on.
Yes.
You know, that is a state-protected, environmentally sensitive habitat area. And that encampment should never have been allowed to exist there, and certainly not to stay for the length of time that it has been there. You know, that is it. That whole strip of Jefferson is designated as no parking. And I'm sorry, but the COVID, you know, moratorium on parking enforcement just isn't holding water as an excuse anymore. So many of those vehicles are inoperable. They're dangerous. There has been constant reports of crime and violence. And the problem has just gotten worse while the council office has done absolutely nothing to get that situation addressed.
The crime, especially, I mean, my next door app feed is every day. It's one of the first things I look at. And I can't believe the number of security videos that people shoot from their homes and their apartments. And cars are being broke into in their driveways or just outright stolen. Guys breaking into mailrooms of apartment buildings and grabbing everything they can, packages. People, weirdos showing up on people's back porches and back steps. It's in every neighborhood that I can read about. Like, nobody is getting spared on the West Side. Just all this random burglary-type crime and trespassing crime. What can be done about this here? Because everybody's upset and scared. They're scared to go outside to park in front of their house and get in their car at night.
Yeah, and, you know, there is literally not a meeting that I am in with constituents around the district where I'm not hearing those exact same stories, whether it's been a property crime, a vandalism crime, or someone who has been personally assaulted or victimized by folks on the streets. And this is occurring in pockets of the district that historically have been safe and generally pretty well insulated from these types of incidents. And, you know, there's just sort of this, you know, perfect storm of circumstances that have happened with defunding LAPD. We lost about 800 officers. You know, with Prop 47, we have reduced what used to be felony drug charges down to misdemeanor infractions. You can steal up to $950 with impunity. And we have a district attorney that won't prosecute crime. And it has emboldened criminals across the city. You know, even with violent crime, we saw in 2021 nearly 400 homicides. And that is more than we have seen in a decade in our city. And, you know, we are going to have to reinvest in community safety. And that means funding LAPD, ensuring that they have the staffing and the resources that are necessary, not only to work on the prevention side of crime, but, you know, to actually investigate crimes. And we need somebody that is going to take the thumb off the scale and let them do their jobs. And frankly, over here on the West Side, you know, our police partners have been hamstrung by the council office. And I am absolutely thrilled and honored to be endorsed by, you know, our 9,000 frontline men and women of the LAPD, because they know that I have their back and that the vast majority of the constituents on the West Side appreciate them and recognize how important they are to our communities.
And I don't know if you have endorsed anyone, but it sounds like your winning that council seat would be a good partnership with Rick Caruso winning for mayor.
So, you know, I think that there are, you know, a number of mayoral candidates that have excellent resumes, and I am not going to publicly endorse anyone. I will obviously be happy to work with whoever our next mayor is, but I can't overstate how important public safety needs to be as a priority here in the city of L.A. in this election cycle.
All right, how can people find out more about Tracy Park?
Everybody can go to tracypark.com, TRACIPARK.com. You can read more about me and my platform there. And if anyone has any questions, you can email me through my website. I actually read and respond to every email.
All right, thanks for coming on, and good luck in the upcoming vote.
I will be voting for you, Tracy, and I'm telling everybody that I come into contact with to vote for you.
I really appreciate that. Hang in there, CD11. Hang in there, LA. Help is on the way.
All right, that's Tracy Park with an I, TRACI, Tracy Park. She is trying to replace Mike Bonin, the LA City Council seat, District 11. More coming up.
Don't even look at the other candidates. They're scary. They're clowns. They're monsters. John and Ken, KFI.
Speaking of the election, we just talked to a candidate for Mike Bonin's seat on the LA City Council. The gangster rap pioneer Snoop Dogg has endorsed Rick Caruso for mayor, which is kind of interesting.
Isn't that funny?
So is a longtime South Central activist by the name of Sweet Alice. I've been hearing her names for many years, and they did not go for Karen Bass. I'm only saying that because that would have been what people would have might have guessed that you know, a celebrity like Snoop Dogg would do. But apparently, he's
Caruso
on board.
Legitimately, it's not just public relations eyewash. He legitimately has been involved running or funding a lot of organizations to help people in the minority neighborhoods for a long time, and he's got a lot of friends in leadership down in those neighborhoods. So he really has. It wasn't just for show to put out a brochure and have a photo op. He's really done a lot of work down there, and for a long time, long, long ago, before he ran for mayor.
Yeah. Now, moving over to another city problem, and here are two numbers to throw at you. L.A. Unified School District is expecting enrollment to drop by 30% in the next decade. And here's the other number. The teachers want a 20% raise. Now, how do these two things jive mathematically?
Can you believe believe the
they
nerve
want a
20% of the teachers?
Raise over the next 2 years. That's their demand.
They refused to show up for work for a year and a half and destroyed the education of hundreds of thousands of kids. And then the first contract negotiation, it's like, hey, we want 20% more. I've never seen an organization that deserves just to be flushed from society. Just all of them ought to be fired.
Do you remember doing this show, and it was probably 15 or 20 years ago, they were panicking that they had to build, because enrollment is going to boom. And you know when it peaked? 21 years ago, 737,000 students. It's been declining since then. So, again, the exact opposite land.
Right, because
they wanted to build new campuses, and instead we're seeing enrollment declines.
Organizations make fake predictions about growth.
And they want to grow their kingdom.
In order to get financing. If they say, well, you know, in 20 years we're going to have 250,000 more kids, well, then you're going to get funding for that. And 80% of funding of a school is for teacher administration and staff salaries and pensions and health benefits. So it's all about paychecks. It's all payroll. That's what school funding is. 80% is payroll. I don't know what people say, we need more money for the schools. I don't know what they think the money goes for.
But books, pencils?
Four out of every $5. Yeah, no. What, gold-plated books? I don't understand.
The other thing you have to do is you have to pay for the buildings, the construction. That's usually a bond measure.
Right, so. And there's a stable mortgage on that, and most of these schools were built a long time ago. So most of the money, most of the operating expenses is payroll expenses. So when you hear more money for the schools, well, you know, with the windfall in Sacramento, by law, a big percentage of that windfall has to go to the schools. So the teachers are all lined up and saying, hey, that windfall's our windfall. That's our 20% increase.
But if they get a 30% enrollment decline, they're not going to get as much money. That's how it works. They're paid based on the pupils. The reason cited for this, families moved to more affordable areas, birth rates dropped, immigration dropped. Did it really? And charter schools are starting to grow.
Can you imagine pitching to a family to go to an L.A. public school? Hey, would you like to send your kid to the school down the block? Do you know it's one of the worst schools in the nation? Do you know the teachers last year basically went on strike for a year and a half because they didn't want to take a bath for 18 months? They didn't want to stand up and get dressed and go to school? So they stayed home, and they wouldn't teach anybody. And do you realize that you come to this school, your kids' grades, they're all made up. You know, we'll give you good grades even if you don't know a damn thing. You can be dumb as a box of rocks. That's okay. We'll give you a B+ at least.
And this is always worth mentioning. On top of the 20% raise, keep this in mind, they get lifetime retiree health benefits. Mm-hmm. How about that?
It is a colossal.
Could you imagine that, having lifetime health insurance?
It's a criminal racket. They steal just millions and millions of dollars from taxpayers, and the students get nothing. I mean, there's
oh, this is great. Under the current structure, there could be more LA Unified retirees and dependents receiving health care benefits than active employees, according to the chief financial officer of the school district.
And they retire relatively
young. That was never contemplated, he said.
No, because the people are retiring when they're 55 years old, and they're living to 95, and now you got 40 years worth of pension and health payments. To pay
out. Health payments for people living into their 80s or 90s, that's unbelievably expensive.
Right. And the kids that they, quote, taught, got out of school and don't know a damn thing. They literally don't know stuff. They can't even make change when you go and buy a coffee at Starbucks. Believe me, they can't do change. It's a good thing that we've mostly switched to a credit card system. Because on the rare occasion when I like hand cash to somebody, almost every time they have a block. They don't know. Oh, it's $4.69, and you gave me a 10. Hmm. And they just stare. And then sometimes they ask for a consultation. I'm not making this up. I've seen this multiple times.
I thought, though, if you just put the numbers into the cash register, the change amount pops up on the screen, no? Isn't that the way it's supposed to work?
Yeah, but then you have to convert it to coins. So you have to add it in your right. If it says the change,
if it says $7.02, how hard is that to figure out?
Well, the 2 cents is easy. Okay, but it's if it's 57 cents, what do you do there?
They don't know to grab two quarters, a nickel, and two pennies.
No, they don't.
Well, I've not seen that. That's a good one.
Oh, I've seen that. I could tell you the place I went. I've seen that.
All right, when we come back, boy, there are some really new bizarre stories coming out of the Buffalo shooter situation. We'll get to that next.
John and Ken Show, KFI.
All right, we're going to talk to an attorney representing some new clients. They're suing SoCal Edison over the Laguna Niguel fire. That'll be here at 5:05. The Buffalo shooter, wow, there's two or three really bizarre stories that have cropped up today. Let's look around. All right, Deborah Mark's not here. Apparently, the alleged Buffalo shooter, Peyton Gendron, once beheaded a cat, according to his journal.
Wow, isn't that classic, though?
And what do we say about people that torture and kill animals?
I remember reading about other mass shooters or serial killers that, as they were, when they were children, the cat always gets it. Like, they kill the cat, and they usually kill it in some brutal, gruesome way.
Yeah, he's claiming, because this is his...
They don't do that to dogs. They pick on
journal,
cats.
He had a journal on this Discord app, and he said that this stray cat was attacking his family cat, but he chased it around the garage, and he eventually grabbed it and started stabbing it, and then he used a hatchet and hacked off its head. That's what he wrote in his journal.
Yeah, and listen, and I look, if you have a weak stomach and you're very sensitive about animal violence, I understand. So you might want to turn the radio down. But
yeah, he took meticulous notes of the killing.
You know, you have to understand what these people are like, and I find it impossible to believe, that if the psych evaluation team had done even 5 minutes of digging, they would not have discovered this kind of darkness. He writes about the cat. It bled from the mouth, and I was able to grab the cat's tail and wind up and smack the cat's head on the concrete ground.
Oh, dear God.
I did that a few times, and when it went limp, I grabbed a hatchet and swung at its neck 20 times until it came off. And this is even more chilling. He wrote that he felt no empathy or emotion after killing the cat. Honestly, right now, I don't feel anything about killing that cat. I thought it would be in pain. I thought I would be in pain, but I literally just felt blank. And there you have is like the psychosis. There you have what a psychopath is like.
Did you see the photo?
No, I just read the printout.
It's not a photo of the cat. It's a photo of him. It's a selfie. He's wearing goggles, and there's little blood spatters all over his face.
I did see that.
How freaking sick is that?
Okay. This is what astonishes me here. He's sitting in the mental health center. They want to do an evaluation because he's threatening murder-suicide, which means he was going to shoot up the school. And even the police said, it's like, well, this guy's nuts. And right now, all right, and this has been true for about 25 years, I think all the serial killers or all the murder spree characters, they've all been online. They've all written extensively. They've made videos. They've written manifestos. It's all there. I'm just astonished. And you know what? I notice in public life, hardly anybody in public life is saying that out loud. Why didn't the employees at the psych center just find a way to go online and see what his writings were about? They had to be there. If you're writing about murder suicide, it means you're going to shoot up the school. Let's just assume that that's what it means. And if they're going to shoot up the school, it means they've been writing about it, and fantasizing about it for months and maybe years.
It seemed to me he used this Discord app, which we talked about before. The other bizarre story is about 30 minutes before he started shooting in the supermarket in Buffalo, he invited a small group of people to join a chat room online. Now, it says here, up until that moment, the posts in the room on the chat application Discord had been visible only to Peyton Gendron, who for months uploaded pictures of himself posing with his gear and his weapons. But it says none of the people he invited to review his writings appeared to have alerted law enforcement. He basically wanted to discuss his plan to kill people.
Because they're all into it. They all would like to do that, too. That's why they go on the app. That's why they're in these specific chat rooms, is to fantasize and discuss murdering their classmates. That's their thing.
It says he was working to build an audience because, as you know, he live streamed the attack until they cut it off after a couple minutes in.
They live streamed it.
He live streamed it. Yeah.
But I mean, he's not the first one to do that either. It's all the same pattern. In fact, they pick up the method from the last guy. You know, he was reading, I think, about that killer in Christchurch, New Zealand, right? The one who went into the mosque. I think he live streamed some of his killing as well. It's all there, and it just seems like the police and the mental health evaluators, first thing they do is like get his computer, get his iPhone, get his iPad.
And bizarre story number three is apparently a 911 dispatcher hung up on a Buffalo supermarket employee calling in about the mass shooting. That's really bizarre too. Letitia, an assistant manager at the Tops Friendly Market, said she called 911 to report the gunshots. I tried to call 911. I was whispering because I could hear him close by. And when I whispered on the phone, the dispatcher started yelling at me, "Why are you whispering? You don't have to whisper." The dispatcher seemed unaware that the gunman was already inside the market. And I'm trying to tell her, "Ma'am, he's in the store. He's shooting. It's an active shooter. I'm scared for my life."
You imagine
this? And she said something crazy to me, and then she hung up in my face. I had to call my boyfriend to call 911.
Shockingly, they are actually disciplining. Well, they should be outright firing this dispatcher. Can you imagine a dispatcher going, "Why are you whispering?" Like they never got a call before from somebody's trapped in a house and there's a bad guy stalking around. And you don't want to let them know you're calling 911. They really have never encountered that before. That was never part of the training session. Good Lord.
It seems hard to believe.
Here's another part in his diary. These are, I guess, more online entries. He wrote about his relationship with his family and his efforts to raise money for the attack. He was going to sell his jackets online. And he took trips to local flea markets to buy silver coins that he could resell later at a higher rate. He wanted to finance, I guess, because he needed ammunition. He says, "My parents know little about me," in case you were wondering about the relationship with the parents. Yeah. "They don't know about the hundreds of silver ounces I've had or the hundreds of dollars I've spent on ammo. They don't know that I spent close to $1,000 on random military bleep. They don't even know I own a shotgun or an AR-15 or illegal magazines. Promise me if you have a child, you will be there and you will be close. Be a friend to your child and make sure they know that you will always be there to help them. Talk about their problems and ways to solve it and never make them feel bad." Never in capital letters. Never make them feel bad for coming to you.
I guess he was an only child. I didn't see anything about siblings. Boy, they really weren't just never poked around, huh?
I'm trying to imagine. Like one of my sons sneaking an AR-15 into the house. I remember reading about, again, other of these mass shooters, same kind of relationships with the parents. The parents were kind of dead to them. There was just no interaction.
No connection,
no awareness. That's the only way you could end up with this situation. He may have been born a psycho, but if you're paying attention, you can at least prevent this from happening.
All right, we got more coming up.
John and Ken, KFI.
All right, there's already a lawsuit against SoCal Edison for last week's Laguna Niguel fire. Quick, we'll talk to an attorney representing those who are suing. Coming up, obviously, it's probably people that lost their homes. Burned down a number of homes. I think it was 10.
Yeah, and all the public officials and the media keep dodging that is the cause of so many of the big fires in the state these last few years. They keep prattling on about the drought, which they can't control, or the climate, which they cannot control, and they ignore how these energy companies run, and they can control that. But they don't, because they're paid off. They're bribed.
This afternoon, old Joe made a move about a big issue with many parents, the shortage of baby formula. He is invoking the Defense Production Act. Remember all that when Trump was president concerning stuff we needed for COVID?
Yeah, that forcing companies, factories to produce a product that's necessary for the good of the nation in an emergency.
Some would even have to, you know, shift and, you know, their production towards the needed items. It says here he also has agreed for an emergency airlift of baby formula from other places in the world that could get it here. Those are the two moves that he is making this afternoon. And, of course, we already know that the FDA is allowing this Abbott production plant in Michigan to reopen. They had some bacterial problems.
That was a horrible, horrible overreaction by the government and by Abbott to lock down the entire. You can't do that. I was reading a story today, Atlantic Magazine, because I was wondering about this. It never really occurred to me. What did people do in the old days if they had a problem with breastfeeding? Because sometimes...
Before formula.
Before formula. Yeah. I mean, the old days, right? And...
kids died.
Yeah, that's what happened. Is kids died. You watched them waste away.
Failure to thrive.
From a lack of nourishment.
Yeah.
Because you didn't have...
This will happen with animals.
You didn't have modern commercial formulas until the mid-20th century. So probably around the 1950s. And before that, if you didn't produce the milk in your breasts or there was some kind of connection problem or the milk dried up, your kid just might die. I had no idea. They had a story about a woman named Elizabeth Hansen in 1724.
wow, they documented that?
Yeah. She was an English... This fascinating story. She was an English colonist from New Hampshire. She was captured from her home by... the Native American Wabanaki tribe. They raided this colony. And she and her infant were captured. And she lost her milk supply because she wasn't eating. She was exhausted. She was traumatized. And no more milk would come out. And she tried to feed her baby broth. Or she tried to warm water in her mouth and let it dribble down over her breast for the infant to suck on. But the baby was starving. She was more likely to die than live. And one of her captors, an older woman, one of the Wakanabe captors, showed her how to make a Wabanaki recipe for infant food out of walnut milk and boil it with cornmeal. And that worked and saved the baby.
The first formula.
Yeah. So the ancient tribal women figured out how to, they had a recipe in this situation, but the English colonist had no idea what to do. And I just never realized how helpless people would be if they couldn't produce milk and we didn't have commercial formulas. And that's why the infant death rate was so high way back when. So
Well, 98% of the formula consumed in this country is made in this country, so that's why this has become a big issue with the shortage.
Yeah, well,
and that's why they're going to do this emergency airlift to bring some in from other parts of the world.
I don't know what government bureaucratic blockheads decided it was a good idea to shut down the entire Abbott factory over their problem. I mean, that should never happen. It's just astonishing. And then it went on for weeks and weeks and months, really. I think February this was originally shut down. And now all the stockpiles have been used up. It's like I was just run by the insane.
All right. When we come back, it was 20 homes that were destroyed last week in the fire in Laguna Niguel. We're going to have an attorney on the air representing some clients who are already suing SoCal Edison for that fire next.
John and Ken show. Deborah Mark still out. We've got Mark Ronner in the news. KFI AM 640. Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.